check it out now. No doubt now.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Monday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin in the house. Kelly, good morning, sir.
Hey, how are we doing?
We're good. How are we doing?
Rough Sunday.
Rough Sunday for you?
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, it was pretty brutal. Good NBA weekend. Good golf weekend.
That's good to know.
The match. Underrated betting opportunity this weekend.
Oh, we'll have to talk about that at some point. Whether today or later. We'll see. Of course, Mondays here on A Numbers Game. The star of the show is not Kelly, not me. It is Chrissy Andrews. It's guessing lines for week number 15 in the National Football League. And it goes a little something like this. Look at that on the marquee.
Fancy.
Stardust style. Chrissy?
What's up, pal?
How you doing, man?
Doing good.
How was your weekend?
Pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good from the bookmaker's perspective.
Yeah, from all, yes, and from all perspectives.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Nice weekend.
Yeah. Very nice. Yeah. What was the big winner for you yesterday?
Probably the Bengals. If you remember last week, I loved the Bengals. It opened 6 everywhere. I opened at 6.5. Closed 4.
So can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
Not to interrupt. Massive Brown steam yesterday.
Yeah.
Yesterday morning, Brent Musburger was kind enough to have me on at Circa, which is always an honor to go in there. And the Browns line at that point was what? It was 4? Did it get to 3.5 in some spots before it settled at 4?
Yeah, I didn't get to 3.5, but you know, I woke up in the morning, you know, early, and I'm like checking numbers. You know, it's pretty much 5.5, and I called Joe down here. And it's 5. It looks like a little steam coming in on the Browns. You know, I said, but let's take a whack. I called a little later. I said, this thing's down to 4. At least go to 5. You know, and we had some money plus 5.5. I said, at least go to 5. You know, and then they took the 5. They took the 4.5. They took and then at 4, it kind of like evened out a little bit. But that was a big winner for us. And I could not for the life of me understand.
So that's what I wanted to get to. And Kelly will bring you in for this too also. Because it's one of those where when lines move like that, it is often the instinct of a bettor to be like, oh boy, it was something I don't know. Right? There's something clearly I'm not seeing something or I don't know about something or whatever. This was one of those, and see if you agree or disagree, whereas someone who had the Bengals, I was just like, is this because the Browns have beaten them or like beat them badly the last time or only like none of this mattered to me. I was like, I don't care. Let it keep going. I'll bet more. Made no sense to me.
Yeah, I wonder I feel like we've seen this a few times in the past 6 months, a year with different games. And, Chris, I wonder if it's just is it so much more with all these other companies that are now out there, right, the DraftKings, the PointsBet, the FanDuel, the MGM, so many more bettors? Is it really just the nationwide steam that is moving numbers as much with games?
Maybe. You know, I think that you know, momentum can be gained in a situation like that. And this is one of the things, I got to phrase this correctly, because sometimes guys take something I say and run with it, and it's not close to what I mean. Like with closing line value, everybody talks about closing line value. And I've said it before, if you consistently have closing line value in your back pocket, you're probably a winning bettor. But it's not perfect. It's very
right,
far
sure.
from perfect. And sometimes... I think we get confused. Like, let's say you happen to be a super sharp bettor, okay, and you were out there, you took 6.5, and you took 6. Now, all of a sudden, it starts dropping, you know. Now, what do you do with the number now that it comes to 4? You know what I mean? Is that the right number, the wrong? You have a lot of guys following you and all this. You know, there's some weird dynamics that go. And like I said, NFL is probably a very efficient system.
Yes. It's its own thing.
It is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you're betting first quarter totals in, you know, in the NBA, is the closing line, that close out, that's the absolute perfect number that no one can possibly dispute.
Yeah, it also.
I think there's a lot in there.
Yeah, what's intrinsic to what you're saying also, it can take forever to manifest. So, yes, long term, beating the closing line value, getting closing line value, and the rate at which you do that, the more you're able to do that, the better off you'll be.
Absolutely.
But you can go full seasons, destroy CLV, and have a losing season,
you
right?
You can, yeah.
It's happened to all of us before.
Yeah. And I've said that's not my point was always that's not the only way to measure a successful bettor.
Yeah.
There's other guys that maybe don't beat the closing line but still win a lot of bets.
Anyway, it was just odd yesterday.
No, it was really – it was another instance of it was really interesting. I was sitting there and you're like, hey, what has changed from 24 hours ago?
But to get to Kelly's point, you know, yeah, sometimes especially as you – and I've seen this all my life, and I think it's more manifest now – that legal gambling, legal sports betting is so widespread that we see some things just gather their own momentum.
Yeah.
And sometimes for no logical reason except, oh, that other guy bet it.
Well, we used to say during primetime action that was the change, right? That before primetime games, specifically when we were on, things would light up like a Christmas tree at those points. In years past, didn't really happen that way. But the momentum, as you're saying, now that there's my line, where if you remember, was it's as if there are tens of millions more people betting.
Yeah, right?
There is, yeah.
You know, like we have Michael Craig on for the Right Angle stuff. That stuff has always been that way. Right,
yeah.
Right Angle is big enough that they have always moved lines for a very long time like that. But this, I think, example like that game yesterday is, I think, what we're talking about. That's the only thing I can come up with. I think you just have a lot of new bettors in the market. They think that chasing steam on things like that in the NFL is a winning way because they think there's something they're missing and that someone out there smarter knows more than they do. But literally anything that
And typically in history, in the NFL, you were probably well-served thinking that, right? Other markets, golf, tennis, maybe your numbers are better than the market. But in the NFL, right, it's such a massively efficient market that you were better served kind of paying attention. Now I don't know.
Well, let me just tell you, too, and I'm fortunate. You know, we did that thing at VSiN with Billy Walters. And I've known Billy.
Mm-hmm.
I know Billy's out there. He's threw a lot of head fakes in his day.
Of course.
So there's a lot of head fakes out there. I know another guy, and I don't want to mention his name or anything like that, but a legendary NBA bettor from about 20, 30 years ago. And I knew him very well personally. He threw a lot of head fakes out there, and he'd usually kind of tell me when the head fakes were, so I kind of knew. I did him a lot of favors, obviously, too. But, you know, there's a lot of head fakes in this industry, and some guys go for it and some guys don't. So just be careful with those.
I think if you're – that might be one of our pro tips today, too. But if you are one of those people out there that does, you know, chase steam on some of these bets like that, that's a very good point what Chris just brought up. Be careful.
For those who have not been on this show on Monday mornings before, this is a tribute to the old Stardust show with Roxy Roxborough. I don't know the lines. I am in a cocoon since yesterday. Yes, it is possible. Believe me. I don't know the lines. I guess them. Chrissy doesn't put them on here at the South Point until the end of this show. And hopefully within that exercise, we will extract value as a first look to week number 15 lines in the NFL. Amazing that we are here.
And we even have an extra week this year.
And we even have an extra week. That's right. All right, Kelly. What's Thursday night? Let's get one in here.
Every team in action this week, 49ers at Seahawks Thursday night.
Buys are over. That's it. Every team's playing from here on in. Four games left for everybody. Quarter of the, or at least, in this 17-game season, just four games left, a little less than a quarter of the season. San Francisco's won six in a row. They crushed the Bucs yesterday. Absolutely crush them. Can clinch the NFC South with a win here at Seattle on Thursday night. Eight wins this season now for the Niners by 10-plus points. They were 38. Well, they are 38-17 with Jimmy Garoppolo. Kyle Shanahan is with him as a starting quarterback. They were 9-29 without him. They're now 10-29. First play from scrimmage set the tone. Brock Purdy sacked, but a roughing the passer penalty called, and the tone was set. San Francisco scored touchdowns on three of its first four drives instead of being taken off the field there. They scored touchdowns on three of their first four drives. Then Debo got hurt, and it looked like for those of us with San Francisco futures, we're like, oh, no, another injury here. High ankle sprain, according to Tom Pelissero. So not as bad as originally thought. Debo got carted off. But basically, Tampa was down 21-0. Fourth and two at the San Francisco 9. 2:33 left in the second quarter. Brady, terrible pass. Low and behind Mike Evans. San Francisco comes back with an 8-play, 91-yard touchdown drive. Purdy to Ayuk at the end of the half for 32 yards. 28-0 San Francisco. And the competitive portion of the afternoon was over. Brady threw a pick on a third play from scrimmage in the second half. Deshaun Gibson Sr. Picked it off. Two plays later, McCaffrey in from 38. It was 35-0. Eventual 35-7 final. By the way, next drive, Brady was picked by Dre Greenlaw, though that wouldn't lead to anything. Purdy finishes 16 of 21 for 185. Two touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. First quarterback to ever beat Brady in his first start, Mr. Irrelevant, Brock Purdy. McCaffrey, 14 for 119 and a touchdown on the ground. Two catches for 34 and a touchdown receiving. The Niners were +2 in turnovers. Seattle, Oh, how Seattle has fallen. Panthers just kind of dominated this game. Panthers were up 20-17. There was a glimmer for the Seahawks. And after converting a 4th-and-1 at the Seattle 5 with 1:41 left in the third quarter, the Panthers decided to go for it. 4th-and-goal at the 3, up 3 points, incomplete pass, and you thought maybe Seattle can come back and win this. Darnold and Tommy Tremble. But it didn't come back to haunt the Panthers. Geno Smith, 21 of 36 for 264, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks. He was sacked 3 times. But here's the box score. 16 first downs for the Seahawks. That's it. Only 287 total yards. They gave up 223 on the ground. 223 to 46 disadvantage in rushing yards. They were -2 in turnovers. That led to 10 Carolina points. That's really the story of the game. And a 39-16 to 20-44 disadvantage in time of possession. That's 39 minutes, 16 seconds to 20 minutes, 44. San Francisco on the road Thursday night trying to clinch the West. I will say Niners -4.5.
Okay. This was the first one, weird, and I might run out of time here talking about this one. My power ratings come to 6, 9 or 6, but as I'm going through the numbers, and I always say power ratings is a place to start, boy, I'm looking to bet against the Niners. There's no way they were as good as they were yesterday. I also looked, they haven't had a true road game since October 30th. They have 5 games since then, 1 neutral site game, other 4 games at home. And I think that can kind of make your – create an illusion that you're better than you really are. And I think that's the case with the Niners. I made it 6, but I was thinking if I was out there, I'd be looking to bet against them. The number is 3.5.
3.5.
And now I think the value's been taken out of it. You know, but I think the Niners, and I'm going to run out of time here.
We'll go back.
I've been saying that they got 0 from me for home field advantage. They are definitely a better team at home this year. Talk a little bit more.
I know Debo's the issue, but how are they going to stop
Debo
the Niners'
too.
Running game? We'll come back. A lot of lines to guess next. Do I sound like a frog this morning to you? A little bit of frog in my voice?
Okay. Yeah.
A little bit of frog going on?
I think you're okay.
A little frog.
Maybe a tadpole. Not a frog.
Kev, sounds normal to you?
Yeah.
Sounds, I guess, thumbs up from Kev.
Okay.
You're good.
No, I mean it from me. I didn't mean your mic or anything. Well, anyway. I'll solve it on my own. You guys, we'll do a show, and I'll solve it on my own.
Ken's one of the best audio guys I've ever worked with in my life. He says you sound normal, then you sound normal.
Thank you. All right, Chrissy, you wanted to say something else about the Niners. Yes.
Okay, Niners, and as I left, I always gave them 0 for home field advantage the last couple years. But I tell you, go through the numbers. They are definitely a much better team at home. Now, that's, like I said, 4 of their last 5 games have been at home, the 1 game being in a neutral site. So they really haven't been on the road. I'm talking about young quarterback. By the way, Brock Purdy, he had the top QBR yesterday in the whole league. So the kid's playing great. Good coaching staff. Everything, Debo. We haven't talked about Debo Samuel, who I think is going to be out.
Yeah.
It sounds like he's out for this week. And that definitely has to mean something. He has a great squad around him, great coaching, all that other stuff. And I think that's helping him. But, still short preparation for still a pretty good team, Seattle especially that. But my question, and somebody else brought this up and made me think about it, all that I think I said about the 49ers is true, all the good stuff I said about them. And if that's the case, why did they trade 3 first-round picks for Trey Lance?
I texted everybody yesterday. I go, he's available now. He's available, everybody.
He might be. This kid's Purdy's pretty good. Yeah.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Yeah, 3 first-round. All that stuff I said and 3 first-round draft choice, seems like they overpaid.
Seems like it. All right, what is Sunday morning, Kelly? Let's go to Sunday morning.
Sunday morning, 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Oh, Saturday.
We have Saturday.
Saturday. Saturday morning for us, 10 o'clock Pacific time, 1 o'clock Eastern time, Colts at Vikings.
Triple header Saturday. What a Saturday this is. Also have 6 bowl games as well.
I know. Yeah, we're going to be busy.
As opposed to this past Saturday. All right, Indianapolis off a bye. They were one of 6 teams that had a bye this week at Minnesota. Minnesota loses to Detroit. Oh, let the mainstream media all day today say Vegas knows.
How much of that are you going to hear?
Oh,
it was a trap game. It was a trap.
The Vegas stuff kills me. Just
I think those guys in the Yukon could trap. Yeah. Forget about it. We could do it.
Minnesota, 4th-and-1 at their own 46 yesterday, 11:25 left in the first quarter. Dalvin Cook stuffed for no gain by Jeff Okuda. 2 plays later, golfed to Jameson Williams. First career catch, 41-yard touchdown, 7-0 Detroit. Down 14-7, Minnesota, 1st-and-goal, the Detroit 3 with 106 left in the first half. Cook hit by Isaiah Bugs, fumbled, recovered by Kirby Joseph. Detroit Go to the second half. 4th and 8 at their own 26. 11:04 left in the third quarter. Fake C.J. Moore for 42. 9 plays later, Goff to Reynolds for 5. 21-7 Lions. And then the Vikings 4th and 4 at Detroit 23 with 2:24 left in the third quarter. That one did work for the Vikings. Cousins to Thielen for 23. Touchdown. 2-point conversion failed. They did the analytics thing, try to get it from 8-6. 21-13 Detroit. And at that point, from that point forward, neither team could stop the other, continuing to score either field goals or touchdowns on every drive the rest of the way. But Detroit's lead at that point was too great to overcome. 28-13 Detroit, 28-16, 31-16, 31-23, 34-23 finally ball game. Vikings teasers crushed with that last field goal. Cousins ends up great in the box score, 31-41 for 425, 2 touchdowns, no picks, sacked 3 times. Jefferson, monster, 11-223. But here's the deal with the Vikings, Kelly. They gave up 400.
The defense sucks.
Yes. They gave up 464 total yards. They've allowed 400 plus now in 5 straight games for the first time since the 2012-2013 season. They were -2 in turnovers, though it really wasn't that hurt them. It was Minnesota getting stopped on downs, as we said, the big punt return, fumbling in goal-to-go situations, as we described, converting fake punts that were – all of those were more impactful than the turnovers – all of those things led to 3 Detroit touchdowns and perhaps prevented a Minnesota touchdown. That's a potential 28 points right there. All that said, the Vikings could still clinch the NFC North with a win or a Detroit loss this coming week. So it's Indianapolis at Minnesota. Indianapolis is dreadful despite the bye and having the extra time. I put it in no man's land. I said Minnesota -5.5.
Yeah, let's first bingo card of the day. I like your number better. It's 3.5 and 4 out there everywhere. I'm going to definitely be on the higher end. I'm going to open 4 just because there's a lot of 3.5s around. But if I see this going higher, I'm going to open it higher. My power ratings come to 7 on this game, which, you know, I looked back over it. I still thought 7 was okay. I mean, in the last 3 games, Indianapolis has scored 19 points or fewer in all 3 of those games. I mean, the Vikings' vulnerability is on defense, but is the Colts, is that the team that can exploit that? From what I've seen, no.
Yeah.
I like the higher number here, and I think, you know, right now we talked about kind of jokingly about a trap game. These Vegas guys knew some. Detroit's playing some really good ball right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, right now they're probably a better team than the Vikings.
We'll get to Detroit because I have a question related to that.
We'll talk about that too. So, I mean, I still think the Vikings are okay. But I, like I said, their vulnerabilities, I do not think the Colts are the team that can exploit them. So I'm going to just open 4 just because there's a lot of 3.5s out there. But if I see it going higher, I'm going to go higher as well.
And for like the 4th straight week, it seems, Chris, this was the Vikings line is one that has opened more yesterday at a bigger number. And tons of money comes in on their opponent. And now it's, you know, 3.5, 4, opened 5.5 yesterday right at some other shops. So, yeah, it keeps coming. O'Connell got outcoached yesterday. That was Dan Campbell understood that both those defenses aren't very good and those offenses are. He understood that what are ways I can keep my offense on the field, right? And that was where the fake punt comes in, you know, the Penei Sewell clinching catch that they ran out there. That was big to me yesterday. It was
He was super aggressive,
but he knew that's what they had to do. Their defense still isn't all that great. They've been awesome.
It's terrible.
But their offense is rolling right now.
Yeah, and Jared Goff is playing some pretty good football.
Oh, Jared Goff's playing great.
Oh, by the way, I did have one more thing I want to say about Minnesota. You've always said Justin Jefferson is the best receiver in the league. I might have to take issue with that. I think he might be the best player in the league.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe the best player in the league. He's that good.
It's incredible. All right, Kelly, let's squeeze in one more. We'll get to Detroit a little later.
All right, Saturday, 4:30 Eastern, Ravens at Browns.
Interesting little Saturday game.
Mm-hmm.
Third one's the best. But Baltimore, this is a game against Pittsburgh yesterday that Baltimore squeaks through 16-14. If there was a bad beat in the league yesterday, I would say it's on the Steelers. I don't know if anybody would agree with me on that, but I really felt that way as the Steelers better. Huntley was lost in the third quarter. Tyler Huntley in the third quarter with a concussion. Kenny Pickett, by the way, left in the first quarter with a concussion for the Steelers. The Ravens now have held 4 of their last 5 opponents to 14 points or fewer. So the defense getting it done. It was a 0-0 game. It was 4th and inches at their own 34. They went for it and converted. Huntley snuck the ball for the conversion. 7 plays later, Tucker, 42-yard field goals, 3-0 Baltimore. Up 10-7, 4th and 1 at the Pittsburgh 34. A fumble for the Ravens behind the line of scrimmage on a jet sweep. But the subsequent drive, and here's where the Pittsburgh gaffes began. Trubisky, 2nd and 8, in for Pickett now. Trubisky on 2nd and 8 at the Baltimore 17, picked by Roquan Smith. Down 13-7, Pittsburgh comes back down. Trubisky throws another pick, this time with 26 seconds left in the second quarter. 1st and 10 of the Baltimore 23, this time by Patrick Queen. By the way, Trubisky threw a third pick later. Also a Calais Campbell block of a Boswell 40-yard field goal try with just over 11 minutes left. So it was 16-7 Baltimore. They've got Anthony Brown in there at the end. By the way, how much do we love betting against him in college? Trubisky to Freiermuth for a 10-yard touchdown pass with 2:30 left, cut it to 16-14. Pittsburgh never saw the ball again, though. Huntley ended up 8 of 12 for 88. Brown, 3 of 5 for 16. Dobbins was the story. First game back, 15 for 120 and a touchdown. And the 215-65 rushing yard advantage for Baltimore, plus 3 in turnovers as Trubisky picks. We're all on Baltimore's side of the field. By the way, the steam on the Browns, we talked about Cleveland, 1 offensive touchdown now in 2 games with Deshaun Watson. They were really sort of outclassed. It was close the most of the first half. They had a 4th and 1 at the Cincinnati 25, 9:55 left in the first quarter. Jacoby Brissett was inserted for Deshaun Watson. Incomplete pass intended for Donovan Peoples-Jones. Then the Bengals had a 4th and 15 at their own 17 with 12:54 left in the second quarter. Scoreless game, roughing the kicker on Cleveland's Tony Fields. Bengals then matriculated down the field, helped by a 33-yard PI call. Burrow to chase for the 15 yards, and that was where Cincinnati was off and running 7-0. By the way, it was 20-3. Browns got it to 20-10. There was a drive at the end that would have determined the spread, perhaps. But on a 4th and 4, after converting an initial 4th and short, 4th and 4 for Cleveland at Cincinnati's 14, 6:17 left. Watson could not get it to Peoples-Jones. Browns never saw the ball again. All Bengals bettors won. I will say Baltimore and Cleveland is a pick, though, because I don't know who's playing quarterback for Baltimore.
Yeah, I was checking injuries before, and we still don't know if Huntley's okay or not. Jackson looks like he's out. I made a pick myself. It's 2.5 Cleveland.
Cleveland is favored by 2.5.
I even see a 3 out there and 2.5 with juice on the favorite. So, I mean, I'm going to open 2.5 and figure they're going to lay it to me, but that's fine.
Boy, the market loves Cleveland, huh?
They sure do.
More guessing lines, week 15, looking for value next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
VSiN is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79 and get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today and you'll also receive $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, though. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting reports, plus our ongoing College Bowl coverage with best bets on every bowl game. It's a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. Man, after like that Thursday night game between the Raiders and the Rams and the Bucks and the Saints, like, it's amazing the high threshold of going back and reviewing these games, what you have to get to now to be amazed. You want to say something about Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson, by the way, in that game yesterday against the Bengals, 26 of 42 for 276, 1 touchdown, 1 pick. He was sacked twice. Peoples-Jones, 8 for 114. Browns had 9 penalties for 98.
I was going to say, Deshaun Watson, he has all the talent in the world, but, I mean, obviously some problems off the field, even problems on the field. His last year in Houston, his last full year in Houston where he played, they won 4 games. I mean, you know, I mean, I don't know. And then Cleveland signed him to arguably the worst contract in the history of American sports. That's why they're the Browns.
Worse than Russell Wilson, huh?
Worse. Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think so. Yeah, I believe so. All that money guaranteed, and, you know, Lamar Jackson now, I mean, all the talking heads on ESPN and other networks are saying he has to sign for just what Deshaun Watson got. If not, he's screwing himself. Now, you know,
Cleveland messed up the market.
Messed it up for everybody.
Because every dollar was guaranteed.
Every dollar guaranteed for this guy. For this guy. I mean, Russell Wilson is arguably a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
I mean, no matter what happens in Denver. But for this guy, with all the problems he's had?
I was saying off air, remember when Houston was getting to the playoffs and getting beat by Cincinnati, it seemed like, every year? I used to say this, when he would, Houston would be down in the games, they'd get a first down, and Deshaun would like do all the like histrionics of, look at me, I got a first down. And I remember saying at the time, we'd come in the guessing lines the next day or whatever, the show the next morning, and be like, what is he doing?
Yeah, something ain't right in that head, you know.
Let's do the late Saturday game, because you just brought up something I want to talk about here about contracts.
Yeah, there's a fun one. Dolphins at Bills, 8:15 Eastern on Saturday.
You see that game last night? That was one of the strangest games. Dolphins lose to the Chargers. Tua was not good. They faced the Chargers fourth and goal at the Miami 2, 6:02 left in the first quarter. Herbert DeAndre Carter, no gain, scoreless game. Now, down 10-0, Miami had a second and four at their own 41, 9:02 left in the second quarter. Jeff Wilson Jr. was tackled by Alohi Gilman. He fumbles. Gilman turns his back to the play, staring at the camera that we were watching the game through. And with the ball still on the ground, it was batted backwards to a waiting Tyreek Hill, who scooped it up and went 57 yards to the house, 10-7 Chargers.
Fastest guy in the league. Just happened to be standing right there.
Waving his way down. By the way, first half box score, 249 to 55 total yards in favor of the Chargers, 206 to 19 in passing. Tua, first half, 3 of 15 for 25. It was a 16-5 disadvantage at first downs for the Dolphins, 2101 to 859 at time of possession. Now, down 17-7. At this point, Tua's 3 of 17 for 25 yards. It's a 3rd and 5 at the Miami 40. They haven't run a play in Chargers territory. Still haven't, because Tua goes to Tyreek for 60. 17-14 Chargers. Got more yards on that play than he had the whole game up to that point. But the Dolphins could only get a combined 44 yards on their next two drives after that. And down 23-14, the Dolphins got a late field goal, but they couldn't recover the onside kick. Ball game. Chargers will get to them. New life. Tua, 10 of 28 for 145. One touchdown, no picks. He was sacked twice. They were outgained 432 to 219, 350 to 127 passing. And the time of possession was 39-38 to 20-22. And then there's Buffalo. That was an interesting game against the Jets yesterday. Buffalo win it 20-12. Jets backers get home, which we'll get to momentarily. But really, this game came down to the Quinnen Williams injury, calf injury in the second quarter. The Bills scored on four straight possessions following that injury. Allen had 31 yards passing at the two-minute mark of the first half in a game where each team had punted five times to start, five punts on each side. He'd exceed that 31 yards with 39 yards between then, the two-minute warning, and the end of the half, a drive that perhaps would have ended if not for C.J. Mosley launching himself over the line on a 4th and 1 for Buffalo at their own 39 with 1:17 left when Dawson Knox lined up under center quickly. Five plays later, Allen and Knox for a 24-yard touchdown, 7-0 Buffalo. The only thing in doubt towards the end, because Buffalo just was crushing Micah Whyte.
He was getting killed out there.
He was.
Only thing in doubt was the spread. Jets decided to kick a Zuerlein 26-yard field goal to cut the lead to 20-12 on a 4th and 1 at the Buffalo 9 with 1:21 left.
God bless him.
Wow, was that a decision? Allen ended up 16 of 27 for 147, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked three times, 10 carries for 47 yards at a touchdown. Bills only had 14 first downs. They were only 2 of 13 on third. They only had 232 total yards. They were outgained 309 to 232, and they somehow won, plus two in turnovers. Those turnovers only led to 3 Buffalo points. So weird games for both of these teams. I'll say Buffalo minus 6.
Whoa, you're low. It's 7.5.
Ooh.
I see 7 with some juice on the favorite.
Ooh, I am low.
I make it 8. My power ratings come to 8. You know, 2 of the last 2 games is QBR. 24.7. 19.9. I think there's something wrong with him.
Okay.
What?
Oh, you mean legitimate injury-wise? Yeah. I thought the way you said that, I was like, I think there's something wrong with
him. I think so, too. I think there's something wrong with that guy.
No, I'm sorry. That was Deshaun Watson I was talking about, was something wrong with that guy. No, too, I don't think he's 100% healthy. And this is a weird matchup. Almost there. It's about 3 quarters. I went back in history and looked at this. Almost every year, the first game between these two teams is in Miami, and the second game is in Buffalo.
It seems like it's been that way for our entire lifetime.
I asked Nick Bakay about that.
Yes.
And he says, you know what? He goes, I'm not sure. He goes, but if you remember, you and I are old enough to remember, Miami's actually a franchise team. You know, they weren't in the original AFL. Or they were an expansion team, I want to say. So they were in a, you know, so they put him in with Buffalo. Nick said, you know, could be one of those deals where that's what happened is like, yeah, we're going to play the first game in Miami, but you guys got to come up to Buffalo for that second game.
Oh, interesting.
You know, he says, you know, he didn't say it for sure, but he says, yeah, that sounds like one of those AFL deals to let them in the league and all that. Because it's definitely an advantage for Buffalo for having these Florida boys go up to Buffalo
100%.
In December. And it doesn't happen every year, but it does happen most years.
We used to
I like the higher number.
When we were
here.
Kids, we used to say that.
Yeah.
So two things. One, I can't believe you thought I was alive when the AFL was around. Two, how old do you think I am? Two, the Tua thing is interesting now because Will Hill, let me give a shout out to Will Hill, who's our weekly guest here on the show, brought up the notion of they can't pay Tua, right, when his contract is eligible for extension. Now, Tua is not eligible for an extension after this season. There's no obligation for the Dolphins to expedite that after this season, but they have to make a decision after next season. And so the knee-jerk reaction for both Will and from our buddy Felica was, well, they can't pay him. There's no way they can pay this guy. And my response to them was, hey, it's not really a Tua thing. It's an NFL economics issue.
Yes.
The NFL has a messed up is my words, but it's just like the way that it's structured. These teams have to make massive nine-figure financial decisions on these quarterbacks well before they can really make an accurate assessment if that's the guy to take you to win a Super Bowl. So the Cowboys paying Dak, the Vikings paying Cousins. After Washington, remember, Washington decided to kick the can down the – what's the expression? Kick the can down the curb?
Down the road.
They just paid him 1 year at a time, and then Minnesota did it. Jared Goff and the Rams is probably the best example.
Right.
Where I remember at the time on a numbers game, I used to say the Rams should be the first team say we're starting over.
Yeah.
We're not paying this guy nine figures. The Dolphins are going to be faced with the exact same decision, and it's very easy to say they shouldn't pay him. But the way that it's structured, the alternative is what?
You're going to get somebody, and I'm not sure who that is.
So they got it. They have another year to make an assessment about him or draft somebody that they think is their quarterback of the future, because they're going to be faced with that same economic conundrum, which is in a perfect world, we would never pay this guy this money, but we're forced to right now or bust. It's a fascinating thing in the NFL.
Guys can make as much money as the market will bear. I don't have no problem with that. My problem is, since we are in a salary cap environment, you know, how much do you hurt the rest of your team by signing this guy? You know, look at the Packers now. I mean, what are they going to do? I mean, they got Rodgers, they got Love. You know, what are they going to do? You know, I mean, so that's my problem with it. Guy can make as much, you know, God bless. I mean, all these guys are going to make way more than I'm ever going to see in my lifetime. You know, whether it's $30 million or $50 million, doesn't matter. You know, but I think I think it hurts the league. I think right now and Tua is a perfect example. One more thing back to this game. I don't think Tua has a real strong arm in case the weather's bad up in Buffalo, which, you know, December 17th or whatever. Yeah, I mean, very well could be.
Weather, obviously, something we should all look at as well as this game approaches. We'll get to four games on the other side. How about that promise? Guessing lines for Week 15, Numbers Game Visa, the Sports Betting Network. It's Gil Alexander. It's Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha. It's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from Cody. Lutz Cody 182. Cameron Dicker, Chris Andrews' favorite player. That's just the tweet. Let's see. Tim Burge talk about the Megapod. I'm pretty sure someone had it out for Jeff Parles this week. His logic and reasoning were spot on, yet dead wrong at the same time. Well, that's betting the NFL, everybody.
Yeah.
He would not be alone there. Scott, New York Mets 16. Fezzik has openly said he crushed CLV on USFL last year and started off 0-11. Of course, it was the inaugural season, but Fez is Fez, he says. Yeah, that's CLV. The conundrum of CLV sometimes. Sly Bry, let's not get the anointing oil out yet on Brock Purdy just yet. Let's see what happens when there's some film on him. This is the NFL, which means not for long. It was just a few weeks ago our pal Mike Gawaita was being crowned, and he's regressed already. Now, I don't think anybody's getting out the anointing oil.
No, on Purdy.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Right? He got the hell beat out of him yesterday.
I don't know how he's walking. Yes. Dan Goodwin agrees. 16 of 21 for 185. That's good stats for a half. Alan Mitchell, What did yesterday's concussion do to Kenny Pickett in the rookie and the offensive rookie of the year market? Oh, not very much. That's
for sure.
Let's
put it this way. If he doesn't play this week, that ticket's ripping up.
Is donezo.
And it's probably done already.
Yes.
But it was a fun bet while it lasted.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
come on.
Lasted
we got
longer,
a solid 3 days out of that.
Lasted longer than that Talia Tagovailoa Heisman one we had.
Yeah, on famous Gil Kelly bets. Yes, that would be number one.
Yes.
And then, yes, Kenny Pickett right now in the running for offensive player of the year, rookie of the year, number two on that list.
Yeah, sadly, with the concussion. All right, Kelly, let's roll through them.
Sunday now, 1 o'clock Eastern, Eagles at Bears.
Okay, Eagles clinch a playoff berth. They are in the postseason. They scored touchdowns on their first three drives against the Giants yesterday. This was my favorite bet yesterday. This rolled. They were up 7-0, 4th-and-7 at the Giants 41, 12-14 left in the second quarter. Hurts to Smith between two defenders, 41-yard touchdown, 14-0. Then the Giants had a 4th-and-7 at their own 43, and Jamie Gillen, their punter, just dropped the ball. He drop kicked it instead of punting. That's a flag. Next play, Hurts to A.J. Brown for 33, 21-0, and the route was on. By the way, the Giants did score on a Jones to Isaiah Hodgins 2-yard touchdown pass 3 plays after a Sipos punt from the end zone was blocked by Elshon Smith. But that was their one highlight. The Eagles roll 48-22. Hurts, 21 of 31 for 217, 2 touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked 4 times, 7 carries for 77 yards and a touchdown. This year, Hurts, 32 total touchdowns, 5 turnovers. Miles Sanders yesterday, 17 for 144, 2 touchdowns, 253 rushing yards for the Eagles. They're 12-1. Nick Sirianni is just running away with Coach of the Year at this point, with that being their record. And the question had to be asked yesterday. We'll get to the Chiefs. Mahomes had a bad game. Hurts just continues on, and the question was asked, what does this do to the MVP market? And the answer is Hurts is now your favorite, and he ought to be. I'll say Eagles -8.5 on the road.
Yeah, it's 9. I see a 10 out there. You know, again, as I'm doing my notes, by the way, it's open lower, 7.5 and 8. It's up to 9 everywhere. And, I think I'm going to open 9.5 here just to be a little bit different. But my power ratings come to 12. And as I'm doing my numbers, I wrote down diminishing returns. I mean, just, more than 10 points at home is just, that's just should be an automatic take in most situations. But I think this Eagle team is really, really good. There's no doubt about it. So I'm going to open 9.5 just to be a little bit different. But 9, 9.5, tough to dicker with either one.
There
of
you
them,
go.
But
there it is.
But I'm going to open 9.5. Like I said, just be a little bit different.
And we talked about the MVP versus the offensive player of the year a little last week on the show, and how if Mahomes is the favorite in MVP, and then Tyreek is the favorite in offensive player of the year, it just can't be, because you can't shut Jalen Hurts out of both. And so that's the fly in the ointment, and now Jalen Hurts is your MVP favorite after that performance. Next, Kelly.
Falcons at Saints, 1 o'clock Eastern Sunday.
Both teams off a bye. Atlanta 1 game behind the Bucs in the NFC South.
Unbelievable.
The Saints 2 games back. And the Falcons said they're going to start Desmond Ridder. Yeah. I'm not so sure they want to do that now. I said Saints -3. I didn't know what else to say.
I'm a little higher. I got 5.5 for my power. Yeah.
What?
It's 4. I see a 3.5 out there as well. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to dicker with that one either. I think 4 is okay on that one. I don't want to have die on that hill with the Saints.
You had a big 5.5. Wow.
Yeah, Atlanta. I mean, obviously there's some problems in Atlanta, which is why they're contemplating switching quarterbacks. Yep. Last I heard, they were going to switch quarterbacks. They may change their mind now.
We'll see.
That they're only a game back in the division. I always say, power ratings a place to start. Just a place. I 4 is okay with me.
Next, Kelly.
Lions at Jets.
Lions at 6-7 now with that win over the Vikings. The Lions have won 5 of 6 since starting 1-6. 7th game this season with 30-plus points. Jared Goff, we were talking about him earlier, 27 of 39 for 330. 3 touchdowns, no picks. He was not sacked. Last 5 games for Jared Goff, 8 touchdowns, no picks.
Playing great.
Lions had 464 total yards against the Vikings. They were +2 in turnovers. I have a question about the Lions, which we'll get to in a moment. But the Jets, also, we talked about their loss to the Bills and how really it came down to that Quinnen Williams injury, because it was scoreless before then, and then the Bills scored on four straight drives. Jets did cover on that peculiar field goal at the end. Micah White, 27 for 44, 268, no touchdowns, no picks. He was sacked three times, and they were brutal sacks. They were minus two in turnovers. I'll say that I split the difference between a pick'em and a three. I said Jets minus 1.5.
You know, my numbers came to one Jets. I see pick pretty universal. I'm okay with the pick because of Micah White. You know, I'm not sure. He like I said in the last segment, they beat the hell out of him yesterday.
Ugh.
You know, they really did. And did you see Flacco? Oh, man, was he bad.
Immediately with the fumble.
Oh, my Lord.
On brand.
Yeah, the answer. So I'm going to open pick. Just thinking, let's see how Michael White does this week injury-wise.
Real quick before we get to the next game, because I promised four. Are the Detroit Lions at 6-7 the fourth best team in the NFC?
Oh, my gosh.
Eagles, Niners, Cowboys.
Cowboys. Well, we were saying Minnesota. I'm not sure they're not better than Minnesota.
I think they might be
We got out there.
The market would probably have them the fourth best team.
I mean, Tampa
on a neutral. I think they're the fourth best team.
Are they better than Tampa? I think I'd have to look at my power.
Oh, they're better than Tampa. Tampa's dreadful.
I mean, the only thing to keep in mind though is that defense is still so bad.
It is.
But that's the NFC.
But everybody else has flaws,
I'm looking at my numbers right now. I have them a point and a half better than Tampa. They might be the fourth best team.
Tampa stinks. They've always stunk. Sorry. Had to get that out there. One more, Kelly.
All right, one more. Steelers at Panthers, 1 Eastern.
All right, Steelers, as we mentioned, lose to the Ravens. Mitch Trubisky with a 3 picks, and man, were they unfortunate. A couple of them in scoring range. Pickett ended up 0-for-1 for 0 yards. Before he was out of the game. Trubisky, 22 of 30 for 276. One touchdown, 3 picks. He was sacked once. The Steelers gave up 215 rushing yards, and they were minus 3 in turnovers. And that was the story, the turnovers. Carolina, as we mentioned, beat Seattle. Similarly, it was all about the rushing yards, 223 of them. They outrushed Seattle, who, remember, stakes their claim on rushing yards, 223 to 46. Carolina dominated time of possession, 39-16 to 20-44. They were plus 2 in turnovers, as we mentioned. That led to 10 Panthers points. Darnold, 14 of 24 for 120. He didn't have to do anything. He had the longest rush of the game for Carolina. He was 3 of 31 on the ground. One touchdown, no picks, 2 sacks in the passing game. The Panthers control their own destiny in the NFC South at 5-8.
I heard that last night. It cracked me up.
It's true. Carolina minus 2.5. I couldn't quite make it 3. We don't know who's playing quarterback for Pittsburgh. Doesn't matter.
No.
Doesn't matter.
It matters a little.
Who's better?
Pickett.
You think so?
3 interceptions yesterday.
I know he threw 3, but I don't know if he's better. I don't know if he's better. I really don't.
I don't either. But, man, that's been a Trubisky land.
He was definitely the cause yesterday, yeah.
No, I think the cause was the fact that they could not stop the run.
Well, for sure,
they could not. And so I think – my numbers come to pick them, but I do think the situation kind of favors Carolina. It's 2. I do see some 2.5 out there. I'm going to open 2. I don't want to, Carolina is playing better now. Steve Wilks, is that the coach?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he lit a fire on them. They're playing better ball. They control their own destiny. Is that not?
Control their own destiny at 5-8. Isn't
by the way, I went through the power ratings very quickly. Well, yeah, Detroit is the fourth best team in the NFC, according to my power ratings.
There it is. That's why I asked. By the way, isn't everybody secretly rooting for the NFC South winner to be like 7-10? More Guessing Line, second hour, next.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number 2 of a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in. We appreciate it. It's all brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander, it's Kelly Bidlin, and because it's Guessing Lines, the star of the show is here, my mishpucha. Chrissy Andrews is here as well, guessing week 15 lines, looking for value, by the way. We get tweets. And this will lead us into some other conversations here. Let's start with this one. This is from Bronco Scott, Scotty B726. I believe Kyler Murray was the best example of overpaying a quarterback. Mm. And a year before they had to, shaking my head.
Good example.
Great example.
No, great example.
Yes.
Great example.
By the way, New England and Arizona tonight, I have actually made a bet.
You did?
I bet the Patriots.
Okay.
just because the Belichick versus Kingsbury thing was just too much for me to not bet it.
I think I told you on the show last week, I was trying to think of what kind of analogy could I get. I couldn't come up with a better than what the reality is.
It wasn't one of my millions picks. It wasn't one that I talked about last week, but here we are on a standalone. Would I bet it in the middle of a Monday? I still, middle of a Sunday? Maybe.
Yeah, nothing for me tonight. Lean under, but nothing.
Crane pool. Hey, Gil, are you saying us AFL fans are old? I feel bad for those who missed the great Oakland Raiders KC Chiefs games called by Kurt Gowdy and Al, what is this, DeRogatis? DeRogatis?
Al DeRogatis.
DeRogatis.
Al DeRogatis was terrific.
Or wondering what you've been the career of Greg Cook, if not for an injury. I don't know if that's how
Greg Cook,
sense.
Yeah.
Who was Greg Cook?
Greg Cook played for the University of Cincinnati, got drafted by the Bengals, had a fantastic rookie year. I think it was his second year. He got tackled awkwardly and landed on his right shoulder. Was never the same.
Ooh.
Great, great player.
Mike Alvarez, our buddy. I wasn't able to come over and say hi last week while in town because my schedule didn't allow for it. If you could do me a favor and only discuss the first 59 minutes of the Raiders game for Thursday, I'd appreciate it. Oh, we did that Friday. We had a ball with that one.
Yeah.
Mark Gupta. Hey, Gil, the NFL sends Miami out west for two road games and then to Buffalo for a third consecutive road game, which is unheard of, and then decides to make it Saturday night. Ultimate bad spot. So they flew back to Florida. Then they're going to fly to Buffalo. They were on the west coast for a couple weeks here. The Truth, 1980. Unfortunately, and we got to talk Survivor here. He goes, unfortunately, I guess we won't see Crack's million-dollar request come true. I think his friend had the Raiders in Survivor this week. I don't know if that's true or not. I have to ask Crack.
Someone else asked me that.
I don't know. I don't know what the entry
is. Yesterday, I have no idea.
Oh, he did tell us what the entry name is. So we could figure that out. And, by the way, in case you missed it, in Circa Survivor, 6,133 started. Each had $1,000 a pop. The first 7 weeks of the year, it went from 6,133 to 125. And then in the next seven, quote-unquote, weeks, because there was Thanksgiving in there, too, it went from 125 to 70. Like, it just stopped.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday, the second, in terms of percent of entries eliminated, was the second biggest carnage of the season. After tonight, because one person has the Pats and one person has the Cardinals, assuming there's not a tie, 40 of 30 will be eliminated. And so we will be down to 30 after tonight. If there's a tie, it's 29. But let's just say it won't be. 30 will be left. And we'll do a whole thing Wednesday, Kelly. Joe Pita will join us for his annual hedging Wall Street exercise for the remaining 30 people. But of the remaining 30, only one person has multiple entries. One person has two now. There's only four entries that still have both the Rams and Bengals available. By the way, the guy with two is half of those. And as long as you have those two things happening, there will be no chop yet. The intrinsic value of the remaining of each of the remaining 30 entries. Any guesses, gentlemen? $204,433.33.
Wow.
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 Seahawks, Titans, Raiders, man.
Seahawks, Titans, Raiders. By the way, the Cowboys, which we haven't gotten to yet, that could have been even more.
Oh, yeah.
As a 17-point
favorite. I'm looking at that the chart. I definitely like those first two teams. Raiders, I was a little iffy on, but I could have had the Seahawks or the Titans easily.
Yeah, shout out to Dr. Bob. I know he was on the Jags. I was on the Titans side of that, and that game played out exactly like I thought for one quarter, Gil, and then whoop, all the way over to the other side.
Whoop. All right, are we going to hit a couple of these teams right now, I think, maybe?
Yeah, No, in a little bit. Cowboys and Jags. Yeah, Jags right now.
Yeah, that's what I referred to. Dallas. So Dallas just gets by Houston as 17.5-point favorites. Remember, 2 years ago in Survivor, those of us who had the Rams this exact same week as 17-point favorites at home against the Jets in Survivor got beat.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew the feeling for 58 minutes of that game yesterday. Dallas was up 7-0, 4th-and-7 for the Texans at their own 28. Kevontae Turpin of the Cowboys muffed a Cameron Johnston punt. It was recovered by Blake Cashman 6 plays later. Damian Pierce in from 1, it was 7-7. Then Dallas had a second and eight at their own 38. They were up 14-10, 3:22 left in the second quarter. Dak picked by Tre'Mon Smith off a deflection off of Noah Brown. Two plays later, Driscoll Jeff Driskel to Amari Rodgers for 28, 17-14 Houston. Houston was doing the whole Davis Mills, Jeff Driskel platoon yesterday.
Yeah.
Dallas down 20-17 now. Donovan Wilson forces a Damian Pierce fumble with 13-19 left in the third quarter, and you figure, okay, well, Dallas is about to roll this game. Diggs, 17-yard return on the fumble recovery, but set up at the Houston 28. Nine plays later, fourth and goal at the one, Zeke stoned by Desmond King, and you're like, oh, my God, is this going to happen? And then Dallas down 23-20. This is the second and 20 at their own three, 5:45 left. Dak hit by Agbonia. Okoronkwo picked by Tre'Mon Smith. First and goal at the Dallas 4 with 5:37 left, and Houston up 3. Oh, it's going to happen. The humanity. Burkhead for a one-yard loss. Driskel to Moore for 4. Looked like it was a touchdown, but no.
Yes.
No on review. Burkhead, 2-yard loss. Fourth and goal at the 3 with 3:25 left. Driskel stopped for a one-yard gain. Ah!
That's second down. That could have been a touchdown.
Cowboys at their own 2 with 2:30 with 3 just over 3 minutes left. 98 yards and 11 plays in 2 minutes and 39 seconds. Zeke in from the 2, 27-23 Dallas with 41 seconds left. Mills Hail Mary picked by Israel Mukuamu, ball game. Prescott, 24 of 39 for 284. One touchdown, 2 picks. He was sacked once. And then there's Jacksonville. Kelly was just lamenting moments ago for those who had Tennessee. It's Jacksonville's first win at Tennessee in Nashville since 2013. They had lost 8 in a row. Down 7-0, 3rd and 6 of the Tennessee 28 for the Titans. Trayvon Walker strips sacks Tannehill and recovers it 3 plays later. Lawrence to Ingram, 7-7. But then the Titans go back up 14-7. Jags' Andrew Wingard picks Tannehill on the Titans' 1st and 10 at the Jacksonville 38 with 13 minutes left in the second quarter. That leads to a Riley Patterson 37-yard field goal, 14-10 Titans. Now the Jags are down 14-13. Titans driving 1st and 10 at the Jacksonville 37 with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Jags force Derrick Henry fumble hit by Shaquille Quarterman right into the hands of Josh Allen. Not that Josh Allen, but the other one. 6 plays later, Lawrence to Zay Jones. For 20-14 Jacksonville, and they never looked back. They held Henry to 2 yards rushing in the second half after he had 98 in the first quarter. Lawrence, 30 of 42 for 368, 3 touchdowns, no picks. He wasn't sacked. 3 carries for 7 yards and a touchdown. You know how we talked about Jared Goff's stats? 8 touchdowns and no picks in the last 5 games? You know what Trevor Lawrence is in the last 5 games? 10 touchdowns and no picks.
Yeah.
Ingram, 11 for 162 and 2 touchdowns out of nowhere. Jags overcame 9 penalties for 70 yards. But here's the story. If you only need one line in a box score, plus 4 in turnovers, that led directly to 20 Jacksonville points. All that said, this is interesting because the betting community loves the Jags and they love the Cowboys, right? Cowboys minus 3.5 on the road, he says with a question mark.
It's 4.5 and 5, Cowboys. My numbers come to 5.5. I think I'm going to open 5. I do see a 5.5 out there.
I'm off on a lot of
these. I'm going to open 5. Pretty dead number. You know, if they take it, I might go right to 4 with it. Although 5's, more prominent number than it was in the past. But Jags playing well. But, Dallas, they do attract a lot of money. You know, it's not like you have to go begging for Cowboy money.
Do you trust Dallas at all?
No.
At all.
No, I said it last week on this show. I said power rating-wise, which a lot of times is not really reflective completely of how good a team is, like what their scoring margins are. I had Dallas 0.5 better than Philly. But I said then, Philly was a better team. Philly's a better team. Sometimes power ratings don't quite reflect. Not this past year, but like let's say an Iowa team. A lot of Iowa teams would win a lot of games, but not by much. How do you power rate them? That's kind of one example. But, I think the Cowboys are pretty good. But do I trust them? No, because I think Dak is a good quarterback. I don't think he's a great quarterback.
I really, like, at this point, it just, a few weeks ago I said, here are the 14 teams that are making the playoffs. We'll see if I'm right. We'll go back to a review once it happens. But I really feel like it's Philly versus Kansas City. Most people think it's Philly versus Kansas City. I think San Francisco is Philly's kryptonite. And so I think it'll be San Francisco versus KC. But it's becoming pretty clearer and clearer as the weeks go by what these teams' glaring flaws are. Let me give her a pro tip for the past hour, because we forgot to do so, Kelly. My bad. My bad, Kelly. Be careful chasing steam, everybody, especially if there are no injury or weather factors involved with the move. We talked a bit about this at the beginning of the show. Yes, the move might have some smart money behind it, but the bettor might also be setting up a move to come back in on the other side. And then sometimes it doesn't mean a darn thing.
Yeah.
That's just how it goes. So don't go crazy about that stuff. That's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show, so that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. Many more games to get to. My guess has been kind of off today, by the way.
Not that far off.
A couple of them. I mean, not like massively off. But
that's why there's gambling. You can't agree with the bookmaker's number. What good's that?
Last week was so much easier. We're trying to extract value. We'll review what we like best as well. More games to get to. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN is the gift that keeps on giving. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber for only $79. Get access to everything we do from now through the big dance. Sign up today, and you'll also receive $20 to buy VSiN Sports Betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear at our online store. Only VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests. Tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game. Deep dive betting reports plus our ongoing College Bowl coverage with best bets on every bowl game. It's a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift and get VSiN Pro access through the end of March Madness at VSiN.com/subscribe. So there's that. Kelly, how'd you do in millions yesterday?
2 and 3.
No, 3 and 2 for me. Can't seem
exciting to start to the last quarter.
Well, is this a 5-week quarter?
Yeah. Yeah.
Darn it! I had another thing to say there. Said darn it. But so yeah, it's just. I mean, again. Oh, that's messed up. I thought it was 4 weeks. No, it's four,
I'm
five, four,
sure.
Five. I think you're right.
Pretty sure.
Well, I'm out.
that's what I'm kind of like. The only thing I was thinking last night, Gil, was okay. Next weekend, like unless I go 5-0, then I'm done for the year. I don't have to worry about it for the rest of the year.
Yeah, I'm just in my own personal challenge to try to get to 60%. That's all I'm playing for. Irrelevant otherwise.
Oh, that's okay. You can have those kind of goals. Yeah, I think that's legit. Yeah.
All right, let's your book.
My
we
book.
Mentioned your book.
Adel Fosmu, my brother. Parentheses, my brother. Yeah, go to Amazon. It's probably the easiest way to get it. Just put in my name and my brother if you can't spell Adel Fosmu, which you probably can't. The book's selling well. It's doing good. And so far, everybody that's read it's really liked it, and I'm very proud of it. I put my heart and soul into this book, and I think it's pretty good.
And it was many years in the making, right?
Many years, yeah. You know, long story behind that. But my first drafts of it, I go back and look at it, and I just cringe at how bad they were. You know, but, you know, eventually I did a lot more writing, and I had a good friend of mine who's a newspaper editor, told me, he says, oh, you finally found your voice. And, I think it's pretty good.
Very nice. At Andrew Sports, there's a link to it as well?
There's a link, yeah. That's probably the easiest way. If you follow me on Twitter, my pinned tweet, at Andrew Sports, has a link to buy the book on Amazon.
Okay. You know,
great Christmas gift.
It makes a great Christmas gift. Yeah. A stocking stuffer.
Or Hanukkah.
When is Hanukkah, by the way?
I have no idea.
Got to call my mom. You don't know when Hanukkah is? Really? I do not. It floats. That's the problem with Hanukkah. Yeah. It's floating.
I had it marked in my calendar. I told my wife I want 8 presents this year.
Starts Sunday.
Sunday? This Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just an American reaction to Christmas. It's not like a major holiday. Sorry. Hope kids aren't listening.
Sorry.
All right.
Most of the Jewish kids I know celebrate Christmas. Yeah. They get a Christmas present.
Oh, I love Christmas. All right, Kelly, what's next?
Chiefs at Texans. What is it?
Chiefs at Texans. Okay. So the Chiefs win their 14th straight versus Denver. Good God. They win their 9th straight division game and their 15th straight division game on the road. Now, this game was amazing. So they lead this game 13-0. At 13-0... the Megapod guys, Jeff Parlay and Todd Wishnev and I, the Beating the Book Megapod, we're on a text thread together. And Parlay throws out at 13-0. He goes, what price would you need to bet the Broncos on the money line right now? And Todd comes back with 1.6 million to 1 after doing his calculations. That was at 13-0. It gets to 20-0, and then the Broncos have a 4th-and-2 at the KC 45 with 4:43 left in the second quarter. Willie Gay tips a Wilson, a Russell Wilson pass out of the air to himself, 47 yards to the hizzy, 27-0.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I believe it would have to be 1 bajillion to 1 to bet the Broncos on the money line. And then a funny thing happened on the way to the route. KC has a 2nd-and-6, up 27-0 at their own. I can't remember what the, I don't have the yard line in there, but it's 2:59 left in the half. Mahomes picked by Josie Jewell, and then the Broncos with a 4-play, 42-yard drive, Wilson to Judy for 18, it's 27-7. Okay, no big deal. Then 2nd-and-10 for the Chiefs at the Denver 48, 1:10 left. The Broncos had expended 2 of their 3 timeouts. Mahomes gets picked by Patrick Surtain. Denver starts at their own 40, 106 left, 7 plays, 60 yards. Russell Wilson rushing for 32 of them, capped by a Wilson to Judy 5-yard touchdown pass with just 9 seconds left in the half, 27-14 KC. Did you bet the 1.6 million to one, by the way, at that point? The Broncos spread now in play. Second half, opening possession. Wilson to Marlon Mack for 66. Most of it yak. 27-21. Kansas City. What is happening?
I missed all of this, by the way. I saw the beginning of the game. I missed all the Denver scoring. Was so confused when I flipped it back on.
At that point, I said, if Denver wins this game, it would rank as one of the more improbable things I've seen in a lifetime.
Oh, did you forget about Thursday night?
This would be more improbable.
All right. Okay, all right.
Yes, since Thursday, this would rank as the most improbable thing I've seen since Thursday. That's what I meant to say. KC 3 and out, Denver 3 and out, KC 3 and out, Denver forced a punt. KC touchdown drive, setting the world right back, or the earth back on its axis. Mahomes to Juju for 4. They decide to kick the point after touchdown to make it a 13-point lead, 34-21. Will Hill, shout out to him. He was pointing this out. Interesting choice to just go up 13.
13 does you no good.
Then Denver matriculated. Wilson was knocked out of the game when his head hit the turf hard at the KC2. He had that those concussion eyes at that point. He felt terrible for him. Somehow he walked off on his own strength. 4 plays later, 4th-and-goal at the 7. Brett Rippon. They decide not to kick a field goal there. They decide to go for it. Rippon to Judy. Touchdown. 34-28. What? Oh, my God. KC 3 and out. Stuffed on a 3rd-and-1. Michael Burton tackled by Mike Purcell. Denver with the ball down 6. Oh, my God. 3 and out. Backed up at their own 5. They don't gain a yard. KC starts at the Denver 41. 7:19 left. Spread in question now. 3rd play. 3rd-and-4. The Denver 35. 6 minutes left. Mahomes picked by Josie Jewell again. Denver at their own 46 with 5:49 left, down 6. 3rd play, 3rd-and-3 at the KC 47, 4:34 left. Rippon hit, throws up a duck, picked by Legarius Sneed. Yeah. Denver never sees the ball again, but they do cover. Mahomes, 28-42 for 352, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. He was sacked twice. McKinnon, 6 for 22 on the ground, 7 catches for 112 and 2 touchdowns, 431 total yards for the Chiefs. They win, but they do not cover. And they're playing Houston. Houston, as we talked about, snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Davis Mills was 16 of 21 for 175. Jeff Driscoll was 4 of 6 for 38. 7 carries for 36 yards. Chris Moore was the big receiver, 10 for 124 in that game. This is going to be the big spread of the week. 2 people in Survivor of the remaining 30, 2 entries have KC available. KC in Circus Survivor. I'll say KC minus 16.
Wow. My numbers come to 15.5. But even then, I was writing down diminishing returns. It's 14 pretty much everywhere.
Mm.
I think I'm going to open 14. Mahomes, by the way, I didn't think he looked great yesterday. His QBR, where am I at? 68.6. That seems like very overvalued. I don't think he played that well. I'm an open 14. I don't want to mess with, more than 2 touchdowns in a spot like this.
I know he had 3 interceptions, but when I was kind of looking, watching some of these highlights back and stuff yesterday of this game, does the Kansas City defense not concern us going forward? It is not great. And when I think about who the best teams are in the NFL, I think, like, Gil, we've had them ranked number one in our power rankings for a while now. I as weeks go on, I think it's more up for grabs between them, the Bills, and the Eagles. And the Eagles just continue to impress.
The Eagles are amazing. But they were playing a fraudulent team yesterday.
Yeah, I still have KC number one.
Daytime degenerate tweets. Hey, Gil, is Mahomes the only quarterback in the league that has a bad game when he throws for 350 and three touchdowns on a top five defense in the league? It's also a good point.
Yeah.
Squeeze in one more here, Kelly.
We've got the Cardinals at Broncos, 4:05 Eastern on Sunday. Don't worry, there are four late window games this week, even though we have three games on Saturday.
Oh, very nice. So how many early games do we have Sunday? Very few, right?
Yeah, not that many. Like
that's
six?
Awesome.
Love
There's it.
Six.
Love it. Should be that way every week. Arizona sight unseen. They play the Patriots tonight. Arizona's 4-8. Denver, 3-10 after that loss to the Chiefs. Eliminated from playoff contention. Wilson, 23 of 36 for 247. Three touchdowns, one pick. He was sacked six times. Four carries for 57. Brett Rippon, Mark's nephew, 4 of 8 for 16 in relief of Russell Wilson. Judy, 8 for 73 and three touchdowns. Big fantasy player yesterday. I will say Denver minus 2.5 as a placeholder.
Again, I like your number better. It's pick 'em pretty much everywhere. My numbers come to 3, Denver. I mean, I greatly dislike this Arizona team. Everything about them. Quarterback, head coach.
Greatly dislike.
I greatly dislike.
Yeah.
My mother always, don't say hate. That's for you, Mom. But it's pick 'em everywhere. I'm going to open Denver 1 just to be higher, but you know, let's see what happens tonight. But you know, I'm going to confirm. I greatly dislike this Arizona team. And I think you're going to win your bet tonight with New England.
I hope so. I hope so. Went a little harder than I thought I would on this game tonight. Woke
Did
up
you?
This morning, I'm like, I'm pounding it. See if I live to regret that. More games to get to. A whole bunch more. The Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
College bowl season is about to kick off, and VSiN has you covered with this year's College Football Bowl Guide. This year's guide is picks on the spread and total of every bowl game for VSiN experts. Brent Musburger's in there as well. Steve Mackinnon with power rankings for every team. Breaks down the motivational factors that affect bowl games. Josh Applebaum will give insight into bowl betting strategy. And Adam Burke can help you give or help give you an advantage if you're part of bowl confidence pools. Give yourself an edge. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe to check out the College Football Bowl Betting Guide. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. The bowls begin on Friday with a couple bowl games. 6 then on Saturday, and we're off. You do anything with Army and Navy on Saturday, Kelly? Did you bet the total at the end?
No, none of it.
It was such an under game. An under better is like, the only thing that can beat us here is overtime. And sure enough, the first overtime in the history of Army Navy.
Don't we have t-shirts like that? It's never under until it's over.
That's,
I think we have
right.
Coffee mugs and everything else.
Yeah.
That was the first overtime in the history of that game?
That's right. Since they started playing in the year 1431. That's the, isn't that when the country was built? No. Yeah, no, it's the first overtime game ever.
And you don't
I would imagine the AFL
expansion.
No, for many of those years, there was no overtime option, right?
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but still.
That's shocking with how low-scoring games they usually are.
I hit a ridiculous FCS bet in-game on the South Dakota State Jackrabbits on Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Where I grabbed, they were like 18.5 point favorites. I grabbed them in-game at 9.5. They were struggling to get there, and then with a flourish at the end, ended up covering the whole thing, which was absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, they play. I think they play Montana State this week.
We're the semifinals.
Yeah,
of the FCS.
I'm a Montana State guy.
That's Saturday too, right? So I think we have.
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, so we have 6 bowl games, 2 FCS games, 3 NFL games.
You have a great day.
Man, you really got.
By the way, Incarnate Word still in it. Incarnate Word.
Friends
of mine went to Reno. They beat Nevada, and we lost the Incarnate Word. And I'm telling you right now, they're really good because they got a lot of good players. Now they play North Dakota State this week. Now I'm seeing an early line has North Dakota State 9. Anyway, that's kind of interesting.
Kelly, Incarnate Word, where is that?
Texas.
San Antone, baby.
I only know that because I've asked that question on air at least 3 times. Every time I see that school, I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, where's South Dakota State? I never. their early line is like 7, South Dakota State. I'm going to root for Montana State all the way through.
All right. Kelly, what's next?
4:05 Eastern on Sunday, Patriots at Raiders.
Patriots sight unseen. They play the Cardinals tonight. I am on the Patriots. Patriots 6-6 right now on the outside looking in. 7-6. The last playoff position of the AFC inhabited currently by the Chargers at 7-6. So the Patriots looking to match that record tonight at the Raiders. Raiders will have the extra rest, but as we talked about in detail on Friday, the Raiders gacking that game to the Rams and Baker Mayfield in historic fashion. The Raiders all but mathematically eliminated. They're 5-8. They got a chance.
Is that extra rest or extra lamenting time?
Extra lamenting time. Derek Carr in that game was 11 of 20, by the way, for 137. And they only targeted Devontae 6 times, which was criminal after what he was doing in the first half. And remember, in the second half of that game, the Raiders' offense garnered 67 total yards. That said, the Raiders are probably going to be favored. I said just shy of 3. I said -2.5.
Wow, my numbers come to 2, Raiders 2, but it's pick 'em everywhere.
Oh,
I once again, I'm not going to dicker with the pick 'em because I expect the Patriots to look pretty good tonight, and I think I talked about it on last week's show. Some teams underperform their power ratings, and other teams overperform their power ratings. For me, you know, if you look at these internal numbers, the Raiders should be better than what they are, but they underperform almost all their metrics. And Thursday night is a great example. We haven't gotten to the Rams yet. I'm sure we'll talk about that a little bit more. But they clearly should have won that game. You know, they really should have. But like I said, I'm not going to argue with the pick. I think that's okay, even though my power ratings come a little higher. But I expect the Patriots to look pretty good tonight, and I think this will be picked tomorrow morning.
What's next, Kelly?
4:25 Eastern, Titans at Chargers.
2-7-6 teams, except for the fact that the Titans still have the 2-game lead in the AFC South, whereas the Chargers are in the scrum of the wild card race. Tennessee, first 3-game losing streak since 2018. How about that? First 3-game losing streak since 2018 for the Titans. It's their first loss this season to Jacksonville, that is, to a team currently below 500. Remember, they were the quintessential bully to this point.
Mm-hmm.
They do lead the AFC North, as I said, by 2 games over Jacksonville. Tannehill was 25 of 38 for 254, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked 4 times, 2 carries for 16 yards. He lost a fumble. Henry, as we said, 98 yards in the first quarter, 2 in the second half. He ended up 17 for 121, a touchdown and 2 fumbles lost. Wow. That's an odd game for
that
him.
That first one was crazy. The second one was complete lack of effort out of the Titans and Henry to even recover it.
Which was the first one was the one that popped up in the air to Josh Allen?
Yeah, popped up right into Josh Allen's hands, right?
Yeah. -4 in turnovers. I mean, that's all you need to know about that game. Again, that led to 20 Jacksonville points. And there was the Chargers from last night. The Chargers, Justin Herbert looked spectacular last night. 39 of 51 for 367. Mike Williams back in the lineup, 6 for 116 and a touch. Boy, oh boy, the Chargers went healthy. They looked awfully good last night. I don't know, where does the Chargers' good play begin, and where does the Dolphins' bad play end? Hard to tell last night. It was a very strange game. Chargers will be favored by 3.5, I said.
Yeah, you're a little high. It's 3. My power ratings come to 2. But I once again, I can't argue with the 3. I was going to look up something here real quick. That's going to take me a minute. This Tennessee team, I think, has really kind of gone south a little bit. Maybe it's just a little trough that they're in right now. But I was very disappointed in their game yesterday. Like we had talked about, they do beat up on the weaker sisters. And I thought they had it was a good time for them to beat up on a Jacksonville team. They did have a lot of turnovers, but Tannehill's certainly not playing that well right now. I think 3's okay. Boy, even though my power ratings come to 2, I think I like the 3 a little bit better. Boy, Herbert is just so good.
So good.
What was the coach at Oregon? Cristobal? Was that the coach?
Cristobal.
Really held him down.
I was going to say.
Or else he'd have been the clear number one choice.
The old Michael Jordan joke. Like, who could stop Michael Jordan? Dean Smith.
Dean Smith, yeah. Mario Cristobal.
Yeah.
It really put the clamps on Herbert.
I feel like I've been saying this every other week for 3 years now, but the difference it makes when both of those wide receivers are healthy and on the field with Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. It just... it the offense clicks differently. Both of them are so good and so important. It just feels more important to that team than any other team with wide receivers.
Here's the thing about this game, though. So everything we just said about Tennessee, everything we just said about the Chargers, would it surprise you for even 2 seconds if the Titans won this game? And we're saying the exact opposite next week.
In blowout fashion? No,
yes.
Not at all.
Not at all.
Oh, no. I've said before, the Chargers tend to do chargery things.
Yeah.
You know, which, they could blow this game easy.
But that was also part of what was so shocking last night, right, was that the Chargers' defense had so many injuries on it.
That game made no sense.
They had seven starters out.
Yeah.
They had seven starters out. Chris Collinsworth said it, and he was accurate. Like, the notion that the Chargers could have stopped the Dolphins as often as they did last night was an outlier. And the fact that Tua couldn't complete a pass.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everything was off in that game yesterday.
I'm with Chris. I think something's wrong with him, injury-wise. Yeah. And I think there's something still wrong with Josh Allen, too. That elbow or whatever, I think there's still something wrong with him.
Yeah, he might be right there. But really, if you look at Tua, it's just the last two games. He had been playing really, really well. All of a sudden, he just drops off a cliff.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, that says injury of some kind.
Ryan Fitzpatrick still had the best Tua line. Not particularly strong, not a great scrambler, doesn't have a strong arm, small guy. So he's going to have to be elite in accuracy. And Ryan Fitzpatrick's mouth, and he's really, really, really accurate typically.
Yes.
So that has to do a lot with advanced analytics of the separation of his receivers. Wasn't good at all in the league the last couple of years. He was in. Now that he has receivers, he actually can get it to them in terms of Waddle and Hill. It's funny that the detractors are like, oh, well, of course he can get it to. Well, he had the worst of it the first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to factor that into your two assessment. Really fascinating whether it'll pay him or not. They got to get to the postseason first. That is not necessarily a lock at this point either. One more, Kelly. Let's squeeze in one more.
425 Eastern, Bengals at Bucks.
Bengals have won 9 of 11 since their 0-2 start. Burrow against the Browns, 18 of 33 for 239, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick. He was sacked once. Chase, 10 for 119 at a touchdown. And then the Buccaneers getting crushed by the Niners. Brady, 34 of 55 for 253, 1 touchdown, 2 picks. He was not sacked. Screaming on the sidelines. That's wearing thin. Matches his career high for losses in a season. 6-7 are the Bucs. -2 in turnovers against the Niners. 9 straight games for the Buccaneers with 22 points or fewer. And a 1-game lead in the NFC South over both Atlanta and Carolina. Cincinnati -4.5.
You're a little high. It's 3.5.
Oh, that's give me the Bengals.
That's exactly what my numbers came to.
Bengals.
And we always say you're never as good or as bad as you looked last week. Tampa might be that bad. Yeah. They have.
I've been saying it all year.
I know you have.
Yeah.
I think about you a lot. Certainly was thinking about you during that game yesterday. They look bad, and I think they are bad.
And yet, are in the driver's seat in the NFC South.
Missed a 3 yesterday, Gil. I'm very mad about it.
Well, I'm hoping they're 7-10 as champions.
What'd you say, Gil?
Bengals 3 is where it opened a couple shops yesterday.
Oh,
very mad I didn't bet that.
Me too.
Missed it.
But, it's for guessing lines. 2 more games, prime time, next. Numbers Game Visa and the Sports Betting Network. We get tweets at Beating the Book. This is from CBT John Prescott, MD. Just a note about Mike White. The HBO show White Lotus is created by a different Mike White. Yes, I noticed that yesterday as I started watching it.
You thought he had a side gig as an executive
Michael
producer.
He does this too.
Man, I'm wondering a lot about this show today. I'd never heard of before.
What do you mean? Oh, White Lotus?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Scotty B. Also asked, do you know what the live in-play point spread was at Denver when it was 27-0? It was super high. I don't know exactly at 27.
I didn't look.
Dom Perignon couldn't imagine holding a Cowboys survivor entry as they rotated right and left tackles throughout the game and installed a preseason offensive game plan. Keep an eye out for motivation in these non-conference games with large spreads. Hashtag semi-pro tip.
There you go.
There you go.
Semi-pro tip.
Oh,
get tropical.
This is from Scott. He says, Gil, my apologies if I missed it, but did you discuss the reaction of kicker Cade York? I didn't. This is great.
Oh, that was awesome.
On attempting a 67-yarder just before halftime in the Cleveland-Cincinnati game, Cade York was, what's the word, apoplectic?
He was fuming on the sidelines.
Yes.
He wasn't going to get a shot at it.
He was like, are you kidding
me? But he was also doing the kicker thing, Gil, where he was standing all by himself, like 10 yards away, yelling at the coaching staff.
That's
not
right.
Enough cojones to actually go up to the coach and say something in his face.
That's right.
But like, I'm going to stand really far away and yell something at you guys.
He had outrage on the 30-yard line. Outrage on the 25-yard line. He was just screwed. I can't believe they're not letting me try this. All right. By the way, if the playoffs were to start now, do you want to do that real quick? If the playoffs were to start now, this is just fun to think of these matchups. Bills would get the bye in the AFC. And these would be the first matchups. Chargers would be at the Chiefs, 7-2. Dolphins would be at the Ravens, 6-3. Bengals at the Titans, 5-4. Bengals would totally be favored, wouldn't they? And then the NFC, the Eagles would get the bye. Giants would be at the Vikings. This is if it started today. Talk about the two smoke and mirrors teams, right? Giants at Vikings. Commanders at Niners.
Ooh.
It's like poor man's version against the big brother. And then the Cowboys at the Bucks. The Cowboys at the Bucks would be the 5-4.
Really? So Detroit's out of it at this point?
Yeah, they're on the outside looking in. Yeah. They're 6-7, yeah. Seahawks are out on the outside looking in now at 7-6.
What is the – I got to look at what the yes price is on the Lions to make the playoffs. That will be only be brought up about 100 times this week.
Totally. All right.
Yeah, 3-1. I can't even argue that it's a bad bet. All right, Sunday Night Football, Giants and Commanders.
Flexed into Sunday night, baby. Huge playoff implications. And remember, here on A Numbers Game, was it 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, whatever it was, when the Giants were 7-1 or 7-2, were like under adjusted season win total 9.5 or 10. And oh, the Giants fans showered us with hate. Well, 7-5-1 against 7-5-1. Remember, these two teams tied last week in New York or in New Jersey. Giants 1-4-1 since their 7-1 start. They allowed touchdowns on the first three Philly drives yesterday, as we mentioned. Daniel Jones, 18 for 27 for 169, one touchdown. He was not picked. Four times sacked. Tyrod Taylor came in garbage time, 5 of 5 for 47, one touchdown, no picks. He was sacked three times. Two carries for 40 yards, lost a fumble. They gave up 253 rushing yards. That's all you need to know. And then there's Washington. Washington comes off a bye. So Washington, with this strange scheduling quirk of playing the Giants, taking a week off, then getting them at home. That's why that tie, at least on paper, was favorable for Washington now. I said Washington by, you can figure this out, right? Because Washington was a favorite on the road last week. They end up tied. I would say by that, I'd say Washington's a 5.5-point favorite here.
Yeah, the number's 4.5 or 5. Okay. My numbers come to 5. So I'm going to open at 5. I think 5's fine and gives me some leeway of see which way this number goes. But I think 5 is fine. And yeah, they should be a 5-point favorite.
Big, big, big NFC game with playoff implications. Yeah. All right, and then Monday night, Kelly, what do we got?
Monday night, one we all had circled before the season, Rams at Packers.
Oh, my God.
What a terrible game. 4-9 Rams, 5-8 Packers.
Thing is, we did have this circled.
That's right, we did.
No, he's being serious. Think about that. Do you think of the Packers as only being one game better in the standings than the Rams? Maybe you do. I didn't.
No, I don't.
Yeah.
It's a good point.
Mayfield for the Rams was 22 of 35 on Thursday against the Raiders for 230. And, of course, that amazing fourth quarter and final two drives. He was 15 of 20 passing in the fourth quarter. Green Bay coming off the bye here. Green Bay by 7.
You know, it's 7.5. My numbers come to 6. I mean, you know, it's hard for me right now to evaluate the Rams.
I wouldn't justify the hook over the 7.
Yeah, you know, my numbers come to 6. It's 7.5. You know, I guess I'm going to open 7.5. You know, since we do everything at 11 to 10, if I was in a different store, I'd probably open 7 minus 20. You know, but I'm going to open 7, see what happens. Or, I mean, I'm going to open 7.5, see what happens. But I think that's too high. That's too high. And you know what? And I'm probably a lone ranger on this. I'm rooting for Baker Mayfield. I root for these guys.
Kelly and I were like, we're so happy for him Friday morning.
Yeah, I'm rooting for the kid. You know, he's been in the league, what, 5 years or something like that? It's his 7th coach.
Yeah.
I mean,
that is incredible.
A little continuity would probably help this kid.
Chrissy, I've said that for years on this show, for people who have listened to this show for many years. I will say it's the most underrated thing. Legacies have changed because, and there's no way we can prove it, but the example I always give is if Peyton Manning had landed in Washington and played for 7 different coaches and 7 different offensive coordinators, he might not have ever become Peyton Manning. I can't prove that to you.
Right.
People probably think that's crazy, but that continuity matters, and there's legacies. We think of quarterbacks as great or not good at all. And we don't think about the circumstances they were placed into.
Look at, you know, go way back. You know, Johnny Unitas with Weeb Eubank and then Don Shula. You know, Bart Starr with Vince Lombardi. Just go through history. You know, Joe Montana with Bill Walsh. I mean, you think he'd have been that great with, you know, the circumstances? The only guy who won multiple Super Bowls with multiple quarterbacks is your man, Joe Gibbs. Mm-hmm. And I give him a ton of credit, you know, for exactly what we're talking about. You know, talk about Roger Staubach with Landry. You know, you just go through. I mean, that's the situation. These, Belichick and Brady.
Right.
You know, they thrive together. You know, there's very few circumstances where that's not the case. You know, look at Marino, who was great under Shula, not so great under Jimmy Johnson. You know, Jimmy Johnson was much better with Troy Aikman as his quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, but, that goes to show you just how important that combination is. You know, they simpatico on the same page, whatever you want to say.
Let the record show that Chrissy brought up Joe Gibbs and I did not.
Right.
I just want to point that out. All right, so what do I like best? So let me, and in reviewing the Week 15 lines, and maybe we could have said this for every week, but I feel like this is the first time I've said this. There are more games I want no part of this week than any other week this season, which leaves me with four that I do like. And by the way, I'm not racing to bet the Rams on Monday night just because the Packers are 7.5. I like Cincinnati at Tampa Bay. If it's only 3.5, I know I missed the 3, but I like Cincinnati a lot. I think I like Jacksonville. That's too many points for the Cowboys. I think I like Jacksonville at home catching all those points. Miami, I know they looked dreadful last night, but if that's more than 7, which you're telling me it is at Buffalo, I kind of like the Dolphins. And then the square play of the week, which, you know, was successful for me yesterday, Philadelphia laying all those points on the road against Chicago. I have no compunction laying points with the Eagles.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Well, they're a machine right now.
They're a machine.
You're talking about another bad defense they're going to go up against.
Yeah.
And I think one of the great things about the Eagles, especially if they're playing lesser opponents, is they just have multiple ways to burn you on offense, right? I mean, they can really beat you up in any part of the game on offense. So I think against any defense that has a deficiency, they can attack.
What do you like best?
I got 3 I kind of like. I like the Ravens against the Browns. I like the Vikings against the Colts. I think the Colts are just really bad right now. And I'm going to go with Monday night. I like the Rams against Green Bay. I guess too many.
Kelly?
I haven't bet anything. Bengals, though, is my favorite. I'm mad I didn't bet the 3 yesterday.
We landed on the same game.
Yeah. You're right. It's the super square play of the week. I don't care. The Bucks are terrible.
Bucks are terrible. That doesn't feel square to me at all. Like, everyone who keeps betting the Bucks, you just keep on betting them.
It's another one I don't really understand some of the spreads with. Hey, how they haven't adjusted more at this point.
We had a ton of money on the Tampa yesterday.
Really? Yeah.
Stay away from laying big spreads with bad teams. For example, the Packers this week with the Rams. It's your pro tip for the hour. We do one every hour on VSiN across every show. So that means at least 20 every day. They're all available for VSiN Pro subscribers only, though, at VSiN.com, where you can sort them by sport and by show. We have done all we can do. Lombardi Line is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.